All right, that was good. That was good. That last song is taken directly from Psalm 23. That's where that comes from. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. All right, announcements. Regularly scheduled services this week. We got 6 o'clock service this evening. We'll be in the fellowship hall. We're continuing the Hebrews 8, 9, and 10 comparison, Old Covenant, New Covenant stuff. Then Wednesday, choir practice? Probably not. Okay. But we will have service Wednesday at 7. Service Wednesday at 7, prayer service. And some preaching, singing, all that. And then after, next week, after this service, the 11 o'clock service, we'll have a little business meeting to keep up with just keeping you guys updated on financials and all that. We'll have a little business meeting. Beth will put together all the graphs and things and numbers, and it'll be informative and help y'all keep up with what's going on here. And shouldn't last too long, but that'll be next week after service, after this 11 o'clock service. And I think anything for the ladies' retreat, anything to add? Good deal. All right. Let's see. Let's have a couple guys come on up here. Joe, Jake, you want to come on up? I think you're you're closest. All right. Joe, you want to pray for us? Amen. Amen. All right, if we want to start somewhere, we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. Very last verse. And a little bit of introduction. This is the subject this morning is sacrifice, self-sacrifice, selflessness, that idea. And I love the way sort of Sunday school and this is going to dovetail together. But the story of Ruth was a great precursor to this we're going to talk about this morning. Just a reminder about Christianity and what it is. Christianity is a kingdom of people, and it's a body of believers, believers in Jesus Christ, people who want to follow Jesus Christ. It's characterized as a holy nation. This is, you know, it's not characterized by ethnic backgrounds or racial divisions or anything like that. It's characterized by spiritual things, particularly following Jesus Christ. And one of the things that used to illustrate Christianity a few weeks ago is that, we probably place more value on our own personal relationship with God than He does. His purpose is community and kingdom and a big group of people. And yes, it takes individuals, but it's the same sort of principle that we sort of illustrated with a few weeks ago that, you know, you take if you're building, we hired someone to build like a pantry and take a couple closets and turn it into a pantry. And so that with that, you got to buy supplies and wood and things like that. And so the idea, a good illustration, I think, of Christianity, and at least in the scriptures mentality of it, is the individual pieces are valuable in some way, but they gain so much more value when they're put into the big picture. For instance, you can take a piece of plywood and, you know, I don't know how much plywood costs at this point. I probably should know, but I don't know. You know, $20 or something. Probably a lot more than that. 60, 160. But then you put that into a building, and the value of that wood increases because it's a part of a whole thing now. And this is the idea of Christianity, that people, God is building a house, and our individual pieces make up the house, but the way they make up the house, it's more valuable to be a part of the house than just to be the piece of plywood that's sitting around at the shop or something. And so this is the idea. So the way people are connected in this is through these relationships. And this is why so much is talked about in the New Testament about people's relationships to each other and their relationship to God, because this is how the house is formed and put together. It's not formed by hammer and nails and glue and things like that. It's formed by things like trust, formed by things like respect, and like we'll talk about this morning, love or self-sacrifice. This is how people are connected. And the reason this works among people is because this is how you're connected to the Lord. It's a spiritual matter. And so I don't have these in any particular order, but I wrote down several thoughts about self-sacrifice, and they're just kind of thoughts that, like I said, there's not a particular order to this, but one of the things that is very clear in the scriptures is that sacrificial love is a fundamental principle in Christianity. The ability to give up your own life to adopt the life of Jesus Christ is basic to Christianity. And I think I talk about it in Sunday school a little bit, but I think sometimes we stop and at the die to yourself part. That's true. You know, like Jesus says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, basically it's not going to have new life. And new life in Jesus Christ is the natural, it's the outcome. It's necessary. Put it this way, it's necessary. If someone is to give up their own life, well, then you're dead and there's nothing there. But you're not just giving up your life, your ambitions and your desires and your ideas about things. You give these up to adopt Jesus Christ mentality, to adopt Jesus Christ, where he is, there you'll be, all that stuff that Ruth said, where you go, I'll go, where you live, I'll live, all of those things, because it's one life. It's not just give up a life. And I think this is the sort of the part where we can make Christianity sound really brutal and just tough to swallow for young folks. It's like, I'm supposed to give up my life, and then what? What do I get out of that? Why would I do that? Well, you would do that because there's an actual better way of living than your ideas about life, than my ideas about life, and the way God has put things together in this structure, in this house. He's already told you how he's putting it together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me preface this with some text here. At the very end of chapter 12, Paul says this right before he gets into the famous love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, covet earnestly, the best gifts. Okay, he's been talking about gifts within the body. Some people are better at some things than others, and they have spiritual gifts. You have the, and he's gone through some of these things. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So this is, yeah, you can have gifts, but this is a better way. This is the best way of living. And what follows is an entire discourse on charity. Love never fails. It does this. It does this. It bears all things. It's patient. It's kind. It's good-hearted. And so he goes through, after saying, I'm going to show you a better way of life. You guys are arguing about gifts and who can teach and who can do this and whatever the arguments are in Corinth. And he's going to say the attitude, the heart, the matters of the heart, this excellent way of charity, this is the best way. If you get this, this is fundamental to what Christianity is. And like I said, I just give you a few points, not in any particular order. But I want us to think about this, because this is the way not only are people related to God, it's the way people are related to each other. If you want to be successful in marriage, this is one of the ways you do it. This is part of success in life, because this is the way people are put together. And the reason it's the way people are put together, it's because it's the way God and people are put together. So here's some thoughts on just sacrificial love, charity, sacrificial selflessness. Just a few thoughts here. First of all, as you go through the scriptures and understand Christianity, sacrificial love is foundational, which I mentioned a while ago. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. So it starts. This is where this starts. This is the groundwork of the relationship. We love Him because He first loved us. And if He loved us, talking about God, if He loved us, then we ought to love each other. Because this is apparently His will. This is what He wants. This is how God lives. This is how He, this part of His life. So sacrificial love is foundational. You find out in when Jesus Christ is ministering. 3.5 years in Israel, He gets asked by this lawyer, and you guys know the story, I'm sure, but He gets asked by this lawyer who knows the law. You know, all the Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, He knows the law. And the lawyer says to Jesus, all right, what is the law? What if you could just boil it down to one or two things, what is the law about? And Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. Everything within the law is based on these principles. What are we talking about? This is the foundation for everything. If I love my neighbor, I'm probably not going to steal from them. If I love somebody, I'm probably not going to hurt them in any way. Or at least try not to. Sometimes you hurt people and you don't know it, but you don't want to. So all of these things, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the whole law and the prophets can be summed up into a couple of thoughts. Love your neighbor as yourself, love God. This is the foundation. And so sacrificial love you find in Christianity, it's foundational. It's just basic. This is what God does. We love Him because He first loved us. This is what man's commanded to do because God loved us. We ought to love each other. This is basic to the scriptures and to Christianity. And then Paul would say this in Romans chapter 12, when he's talking about sacrifice, and he would say, in fact, I'll just read it to you. Again, probably something familiar, but very distasteful if you don't get the other side of it. If you just hear the negative, you know, die to yourself type of stuff, which is true, but there's another part to this. It's not just die to yourself, it's follow Jesus Christ and leave the self behind. Because this is a wiser, more noble, better way of living life. So Paul would say this, I beseech you, Romans 12:1. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And why? I mean, what would make it reasonable? It's because this is the same service that Jesus Christ performed in laying down his life and following the will of the Father. And so anyone who's going to claim Christianity and Jesus Christ as your master, as your Lord, as your shepherd, you know, we sang that song that came from the famous Psalm 23, you know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. That comes in context with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the psalm that it comes from. And if he's your shepherd and you're his sheep, then you follow the voice of the shepherd. So when Paul says, look, this is the application of Christianity. Jesus Christ did this. And it's only reasonable that people who follow Jesus Christ would do the same thing. This isn't an out-of-bounds ask to make. It's not something that's just extraordinary to say, yeah, I did it this way, or Jesus did it this way, but he wants us to do it this other way. No, he lays down his life. He submits to the will of the Father. And then Paul applies Christianity and says, look, this is your reasonable service. Offer your body a living sacrifice. You got ambitions? Well, sometimes those crisscross or contradict God's ambitions. And what do you do when you hit those crossroads? Well, you kind of say, all right, not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus Christ would do. So this is foundational. It's just very foundational to Christianity. It's very foundational to relationships, sacrificial love, and it's fundamental. And I find it it's interesting, and I use the word fundamental specifically because I have found it interesting over the years what people have called fundamentals of the faith. And it seems like things like this don't seem to make it in the list when this is actually the basis of Christianity. This is actually fundamental to what Christianity is. There's fundamentals about your profession about certain things in the future, your professions about certain things about what's happened to you. Fundamentals to Christianity are things like this. This is your reasonable service. This is something that you do because God first loved you. So I use that word on purpose because I think it's been kind of, what do we say now, appropriated, sort of been appropriated. And we make these other things fundamental that just aren't fundamental. And consequently, Christians regularly fighting each other, at odds with each other. And it's because we make all these other things matters of fundamentalism that aren't fundamentals. They're just stuff people want to have opinions about. This is fundamental. I would say if God first loved us, we love him because he first loved us. If this is reasonable service, this self-sacrifice, that's pretty basic. This is where it kind of starts. So self-sacrifice, sacrificial love, it's foundational. And again, in no particular order, number two, sacrificial love requires new life. This is the positive side of sacrifice. And it's something that's missing when you go through the Bible. It's the element that's missing in all the animal barbecues that Israel had. And I say barbecue because I think that's kind of, that better explains what's going on a lot of times with the sacrifice. It's a holy event. It's honored. But when Israel's killing animals, the priest, there's eating, they're feasting. This is barbecue. Sacrifice requires new life. A couple things. Paul would say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2. The reason he would say something like that is because people were fighting, people in Philippi were fighting, Christians were fighting about their opinions about things, and they couldn't get along, and it was making Christianity suffer in the church. They couldn't perform, they couldn't do ministry like they could do if they weren't fighting. And so Paul says, look, let this mind be in you. Think like Jesus Christ, who thought it not, you know, you could say robbery to be in the form of God, but made himself a man, made himself subject to man, made himself subject to the Father, made himself subject to death, and became a servant. And Paul says, this is the mind. This is the mind that fixes your problems. This is the mentality that restores this relationship that's valuable to God and God's household. It's like the pieces of wood aren't connecting because they're fighting each other, and therefore the structure can't hold up. And what we need is these things to come together on the basis of love and caring and kindness and sacrifice. That way the building can be built. Sacrificial love requires new life. It's not just, like I said earlier, it's not just you give up life and, hey, come to Christianity and die to yourself. Well, that's not really appealing. I got things that I would like to do with my life, and to say die to yourself, okay, you got to make a case for that. Why would I just do that? Why would you just do that? And if you would just do that, I kind of question your sanity. If there's not an alternative. But it's not just die to yourself. It's die to yourself because you're adopting the life of Jesus Christ. Die to yourself because when my will contradicts the will of God, I defer to God and I say, all right, Lord, this is what you want. Because this is what Jesus Christ did. And if you say he and the Father never had a disagreement, we'll talk about that in a second. There's a time in the garden, well, I'll get ahead just so you don't think I'm heresy here. There's a time in the garden where Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. Meaning, my will is in conflict with the will of the Father, but I am going to follow the will of the Father. And so when those things crisscross, when those things contradict, when you find you got to make a decision in a relationship, or you got to make a decision about a job, or you got to make a, I mean, it rolls into all of these aspects of life. When you got to make these decisions about life, when your will crosses the will of the Father, the light from the scriptures, you say, just like Jesus Christ said, not my will, thine be done. That's Christianity. And that builds the house. That's what God's building. Something that is part of his will that he puts together in the way he's going to put it together. Sacrificial love. So sacrificial love requires new life. It requires new life because you can't just make demands to people to give up their life without offering them something. And what the Lord offers in Christianity is follow Jesus Christ because he's wiser, because this is the way life is supposed to be lived, and this is the mechanics of your existence. This is what it looks like. So Jesus would encounter people who would say, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. And he would say, well, you can't be my disciple. Or he'd say, they would say, but first we got to do this. At first I got to do this. And first I got to do this. And he says, well, if you do that, Go do that, but you can't be my disciple if you're going to do that. Meaning, where your will has contradicted the will of God, you can either say, my will be done, or God's will be done. And so when the people would come to Jesus and say, we want to follow you, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, we believe that. And they would say, but I've got this over here. And Jesus would say, okay, you got that over there. Everyone has that over there. Everyone has something else that's going to contradict the will of God in their lives. And the decision you and I have to make as Christians is, not my will, but thine be done. That's the idea. Sacrificial love requires new life. Jesus would say it this way, except the seed fall to the ground and die, no life is coming out of it. It has to fall to the ground and die. And then Jesus would say things like, if you save this life, you'll lose it. If you try to preserve the life that says, essentially, all flesh is grass, that's what we are. And if we just follow these carnal desires that we have and these carnal ideas that we have about life, we just follow those, it's just corruption and leads to death, and it's going to end in a grave and all that. But if you want to participate in eternal life is the light of God. And this is the direction that God gives. So sacrificial life or sacrificial love requires new life. If you give up your life, then you have to have a new life you're going to. If you give up your ambitions, there has to be someone else's ambitions you're picking up. If you give up your goals, when your goals cross the goals of God, someone has to win out here. This is why you would have to lose your life to gain life, because you can't carry your own goals and your own ambitions and try to carry God's goals when they contradict each other. You can't do both. Peter would equate this, interestingly enough, Peter would equate new spiritual life. And it sounds to me, it sounds so simple at this point, just thinking of it this way. It's one life. You have a life. You can give up that life, Sunday school, you know, 1 - 1 = 0, and be 0, but that doesn't appeal to anybody. It's 1 - 1 + 1. I'm adding new life. And Peter would say, this is new life, that you love one another. This is what new life looks like. In fact, I'll read it to you. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. If you want to look at it, this is how Peter says it. And he says, this is the new birth. A new birth, because it's new life coming out now. Peter would say it this way, seeing ye have purified your souls, 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, so this equates to being born again, this is what the new birth is, it's new life. It's new life because the old life is gone. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. So the new life doesn't spring from biology. It springs from the Word of God that's given instruction and light. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. So one of these days, if you're not there yet, you'll find you get to an age where everything hurts at some point in time, and every day something hurts, and whatever glory was in the young days is sort of passing away. All flesh is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. Why is that? That's because flesh is corrupt. It's going to die. The thing that doesn't die is this. Here we are talking about words that have existed, at least in recorded form, for thousands of years now. So this spirit is still active. It's been active for generations. It's been active for centuries, millennia. It's not subject to the flesh. It's not going to die like the flesh dies. Verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's new life. Love God, love one another. This is the new birth. This is what new life is. It's sacrificial love. And it requires new life. So sacrificial love, number one, foundational. Number two, it requires new life. And number three, sacrificial love sometimes comes in the form of compromise. This is the way I learned things in the Bible. A lot of times compromise was sort of the four-letter word, or it's the bad word. We don't compromise on anything, you know. We got the standards and we don't compromise on anything. And that's not a real view of life. You compromise on a lot of stuff, and it's good. You need to, because you're not right all the time. And compromise even existed in what we said a while ago in Jesus Christ's life, where he says in the garden, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's called compromise. And not bad compromise. It's yielding this life for a better purpose, a better life. And so Jesus Christ does it. Sacrificial love comes in the form of compromise. And maybe it's even better applied in our own daily lives, and maybe in marriage, compromise is necessary. And while some might say, and I'd heard this for a long time, you know, compromise is of the devil and all that, that's not a real way of living life. The ability to set aside your will for someone else's will is humility. It can be good. And it shows that you don't actually believe that you're superior to somebody that you're yielding to. I think if you have to impose your will on everybody, you have this very insecure view of life. But also you may think you're always right about things, or if it's not your way, there's going to be some major catastrophe. But the ability to submit and say, all right, not my will, all right, well, let's do it your way, let's look at it your way, that's a form of self-sacrifice. Not my will, your will. It's what Jesus Christ said to the Father. And I understand the Father is, God is much higher and more wise and all of that than us. But when Paul gives marriage advice, one of the things he talks about is being humble, being a servant to each other, and selfless. That's one of those words that'll fix a lot of things. Sacrificial love in the form of compromise. And I guess the opposite of that would be narcissism, me, mine, my time, my life, mine this, mine that. And you try to get into a relationship with somebody with that attitude, and it will doesn't last. That will not last. Because the reality is, two people, just in a marriage relationship, a friendship, two people, if everybody's saying, my will, my will, my will, my will, that's not going to work. So what's the point? Self-sacrifice in the form of compromise. That can be a practical thing. And it's a spiritual thing. And it's something that as you understand light from the Lord, you're going to have to compromise on your own thoughts, I don't know about you. I don't know about you guys. I have learned. I don't know how to quantify it. In the last few years, I didn't come to the Bible knowing the whole Bible. I didn't come into Christianity knowing everything about it, and then just basically, here's the routine, do this, and do this, and do this, and then pass these ideas down to the next generation. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about the Bible. I'm still learning about the Bible. I'm learning about Christianity. What that means is, if you're going to learn, you have to compromise. You have to give up my own understanding. Whatever I thought was right, I'm going to yield to what I'm reading now is true. If this is true, if this is saying something contrary to what I thought, then I give up my thoughts and I adopt God's thoughts or the Scripture's thoughts. And this is part of new life. This is all of those things are kind of tied together. What it means is I give up myself, my understanding, for someone with greater understanding, someone who knows what they're talking about. So sacrificial love in the form of compromise. Sacrificial love, number four here, love in the form of effort. And I'm going to try to get through these fairly quickly now. Jesus would say that love could be measured. And the way it's measured is by sacrifice. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. So, well, what makes this the greatest possible love? It's the greatest possible love because it's everything you have. If you lay down your life, this is all you have. This is everything. That means I can't give any more. So before Jesus Christ goes to the cross, this is one of the things he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. This is the epitome of love because I am emptying my basket. This is all I have, and it's being given away now. I lay down my life for my friends. This is sacrifice. This is what it is. And the measurement of it is sacrifice. How much did you give up for this person? How much did you give up for these people? This is the measurement of love. This is John 15, verses 12 through 17, if you want to look it up. But this was one of the things that it was absent. I think I was going down that line a while ago. But one of the things that was absent in the death of the animals in the Old Testament. This is why the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. Because the blood of bulls and goats doesn't deal with sin, really. Animals are innocent, but they're not willing. They're not willing participants in the system. They're innocent, but what God's looking for is the measurement of love to give up life. And not just give it up and say, okay, give it up, I demand you life. No, you give up your life so that you can adopt new life. And so in the Old Testament sacrificial system, you've got these animals and they're being harvested and butchered, and there's ceremonies attached to these things, sins of the people, and it happens on a regular daily basis. And so the system back in the Old Testament was fundamentally broken. I would say broken, it was fundamentally weak. Because you never got to the element that God was after. The element was the measurement of love, self-sacrifice. The animal, innocent, but not willing. Jesus Christ says, I'm willing. He's holy, just, good, the Son of God, and God sees the death of the Father, sees the death of the Son, and then that is the satisfying element. Someone who gives up their life is innocent and willing. And this is what Samuel talked about with Saul. This is what all through the Old Testament, this is the idea. God's not, he doesn't really, the sacrifices and the sacrificial system isn't really the thing. God is looking for someone to say, not my will, but thine be done. And in Jesus Christ, he has a man, the Son of God, who says that and does that all through his life and is innocent, is holy. And therefore, this death that is a product of sin entering the world, the Father says, now there is an acceptable death. What makes it acceptable is the will of the man. No greater love than any man hath this than the man lay down his life for his friends. Sacrificial love requires, it comes in the form of effort. Now, that's a sort of a big picture thing, but you apply that to marriage, you apply that to friendships, and effort, someone putting out some effort into the relationship, that speaks of care and love, and you know, I want to be a part of this relationship with you. And so when there's effort, there's I'm going to give up my time, I'm going to give up parts of my life for you. And this measurement of love, it can actually be measured by this time that I'm giving and this energy that I'm giving to this relationship. And so I'll try to get through these in a hurry, but this one can be applied, just like all of these can be applied into marriage and relationships. Sacrificial love in the form of effort. The sacrificial love is evangelism. I just got a couple more real quick. Jesus would say about sacrificial love that it is the thing by which everyone would know that you're Christians, that you're mine. That if you love one another, he told the disciples, he said, I give unto you a new commandment, I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. You know, I encourage evangelism, and we are, as Christians, evangelists for Jesus Christ. The way we do that, one of the basic ways you do that, is you follow the principles of Christianity, of which self-sacrifice is one, and love is one of the fundamental principles. And this is one of the things that Jesus says, people will watch, and by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. So, the opposite of that is, you've got a world that looks at Christianity that's divided here, divided there, broken up here. People with these same statements of faith arguing about whatever they're arguing about, fighting each other. And the world, the outside world, the world that's not Christian says, I don't want any part of that. I'm not interested. I can fight people at work all day. I can fight people around me all day. I'm not interested in adopting a higher set of morals that only leads to fighting. I'm not interested. And so Jesus Christ would say, no, this is the opposite of that is the world can see if you love one another, this is the evangelism. This is what people watch. Does this actually matter in their lives? Or are they just making a statement of faith? Or does it actually matter? Are they willing to sacrifice for each other? Are they willing to care for each other? This is something that matters. This is something you want to be a part of. This is something God's trying to build. Sacrificial love is evangelism. There's people who proclaim to be Christians, you know, very sometimes self-righteous people, seem to believe that this the opposite of this is true. I don't know if I'm trying to get through this quick again. But some of the mentalities I've become acquainted with are the more divisive you can be, the better Christian you are. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. Your spirituality isn't measured by how critical you can be of other people. Your spirituality isn't measured by how mean you can be to other people who aren't like you. Your spirituality is actually measured by your kind-heartedness, your love, your compassion for each other. This is the measurement. What am I willing to give up? Not what am I willing to impose on your life. What am I willing to give to your life? This is the measure of Christianity. And it seems like the opposite is true in a lot of circles. Well, we don't stand for that. We stand for this, and we're against that, and we're against this, and we're more spiritual. And thank God we're not like 99% of Christians who don't know what we know. Nonsense. That's garbage. It's absolute garbage. Jesus Christ says you'll be measured by the love you have for each other. This is the measurement. This is the evangelism. This is what makes you Christian. These things. Sacrificial love is evangelism. It's like if you're going to promote Jesus Christ by opposing anything and everyone, it's no wonder nobody's interested. It's no wonder nobody's interested in Jesus Christ. I am to a point in my life here where I want to enjoy life. I want to enjoy the people I'm around. And I found out there's a way to do that. And it's not by being, I won't say that word, it's not by being grumpy all the time. I don't want to live out my days grumpy. I want to live out my days with new life from Jesus Christ. Enjoying life. Enjoying your company. Enjoying each other's company. Loving people. Sacrificing whatever it is for a better cause, for a better life. Sometimes I told somebody this the other day. I feel like, and this is just personal, you know, this isn't scripture, it's just me personal. I feel like I don't have enough time left to be grumpy. I want to enjoy things, I want to enjoy life, and I think Christianity does that. I think it is an enjoyment of life. I think that there's a future hope, but there's also a present reality of joy and peace and comfort. Does it take away all of the bad stuff? Absolutely not. But it gives patience and joy in times where there's not that. Sacrificial love, this is evangelism. This is the thing that people want. I say all that because I don't think I'm unique. I think people will get to a point in their lives where they just are tired of being grumpy. And the prescription is Jesus Christ offers joy and hope and good relationships. Sacrificial love, last thing, it's a commandment. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Paul would say it this way in Galatians. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. That's freedom. It's enjoyment of life now. You've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. So now you've been given this new perspective on life. You've been given this new life. Now, don't compare that life and say, I got it and you don't. Use this life and be good to people and love one another. I mean, I tell you, 20 years ago, I would never say stuff like this because I thought Christianity was how bad you can be to people. And it was so messed up. It's absolutely not that. John would say it this way. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. This is the commandment. Well, that's not for us. That's for It's not for us. I love how you just pick and choose what you want to be for you. We like the believe part. Believe on the Son of God. But the love part, wait. No, that's, you're overstepping now. No, these two things go hand in hand. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. As He gave us commandment. Beloved, this is later on in 1 John, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See that there's the sacrifice of the new birth. Why is there a new birth associated with it? Because there has to be new life. If I give up this life, I have to have a new life. Otherwise, I'm just dead in the water. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. As much as this is said throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, I would say this is pretty basic. It ought to be pretty basic. I've heard discipleship lessons, and we got to talk about baptism. We got to talk about, you know, priesthood of the believer. We've got to talk about this and that. Where are the lessons that say, hey, this is basic? We ought to love one another. This is a commandment. This is just right off the bat. This. Love God, love each other. So sacrificial love, just a few thoughts. It's foundational. It requires that new life be applied, that you adopt new life. Sacrificial love comes into the form sometimes of compromise, where it's humility. It's giving up of yourself. Sacrificial love comes in a form of effort. What amount of energy are you willing to put into this? Sacrificial love is evangelism. And lastly, sacrificial love is a commandment. This is what builds Christianity. It's what builds people's lives. And it's just following Jesus Christ. He said, I've loved you. Now, as I've loved you, go and love each other. What heresy. What terrible thing. What a terrible thing. I'm being sarcastic, if you haven't noticed. But that's the commandment. Sacrificial love. It is a fundamental element of people's relationships with each other, because it is a fundamental element of people's relationship to God. Just simple thought. Hope it helps. Ben, you got anything you want to... Okay. We don't have any music, so we'll pray and hope to apply this to our lives as we leave. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for these words. I pray that You would help us make these applications, learn about the way of Jesus Christ and what He taught. He came to take away sin, and the way He takes it away, this is a matter of practice, not just a matter of theory. Lord, help us be Christians, those that want to claim Christianity, and then those that are curious. I pray this makes some sense. Why are these commandments in here? What is the point of these lessons that Jesus Christ is teaching? What is He saying? I pray it makes sense. And I pray it makes sense to those who want to be Christians. So help us apply these things best we can and learn from our mistakes, learn from our willing rebellion against light that we know that You've given us. I pray that You'd help us with this, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.